Hi, and welcome to the iPhone Life podcast. I'm Donna Shill Dugan, editor-in-chief at iPhone Life.
And I'm David Averbach, CEO and publisher.
Each episode, we bring to you the best apps, top tips, and great gear in the iOS world. Today, we have a couple of themes. We want to talk about summer gear, because yes. It's July, at least in Iowa, where we're recording. It's very hot, so we felt like it was a good, appropriate time to review some cool things like poolside gear, outdoor gear. Also, iOS 27 is out in beta form. The public beta is not out yet, but will be soon. And we've been testing the developer beta. So we want to tell you about Siri AI and some of the cool new features heading for your iPhone, plus some other news like the unwanted news of Apple raising its prices. But yeah,
we want to
keep you covered in all of these areas. So stay tuned. I also just wanted, before we jump into the episode, I wanted to thank all of you who wrote in and told us how much you love the podcast. You're inspiring us to get back on our monthly routine.
We're back. We, as promised, 2 months in a row on schedule, and we're happy to do it, and we really appreciated everyone's encouragement. It definitely was a good motivation to come back and get back on schedule. So stay tuned, and hopefully in August, we will be right on schedule too.
Before we get into the episode, I wanted to take a minute to tell you about our free daily tip newsletter. If you go to iPhoneLife.com/dailytip, just enter your email and you can sign up to get a 1 minute tip in your inbox every morning that teaches you something cool you can do with your iPhone. Really, it's based off that principle, you don't know what you don't know. So each day we'll give you little nudges and reminders of cool things that you probably wouldn't have discovered unless we told you about it. We have almost 1 million people who are now on this newsletter. We're really proud of that, and we get tons of positive feedback all the time about how much people love it. So iPhoneLife.com/dailytip. And I had a tip I wanted to share today. It's a simple one, but it was one I actually thought I was already doing and I wasn't. Mm. And that's how to share your contact card and photo with other people. So this one's simple. If you just go into your messages app, there's a little 3-line menu at the top left. If you tap that, it'll give you the option to edit your contact name and photo. And so from there, you can change the photo and stuff like that. But at the bottom, there's a little toggle that lets you share that with your contacts, or it can have, there's an option to always ask. And I had always ask on.
I did not have it on. It just toggled off. That is such a cool little tip, because it's one of those things that, like, I have it set up.
Yeah.
But it doesn't share it. Oh, that's so funny.
Because, like, you've probably noticed, if, you know, those of you listening, that for some people that you correspond with in messages, you'll see the image that they picked out, that, like, it'll just show up on your phone, not something that you selected. Well, that's if they have this feature enabled. Otherwise, you control what photo shows up for them, which actually, the only downside of this is my husband recently, he, like, created a weird orange contact card, in my opinion. So now anytime he calls, like, my whole phone, like, turns orange, and I'm like,
what? Oh, so that's a good question. Does it override everybody's, or do they still have to?
I think you can go back. Like, I should try changing it now.
Oh, now I regret it.
It changed it for me, but I'm wondering if I could now go override it. That's a good question.
Because I definitely have, like, really personal ones for, like, my friends and family that I'd be really sad to lose.
Yeah, so they could override that.
Oh, I had no idea. Okay, and I just did that. I overwrote it. So,
like, for people who have special photos of you, now they'll just get.
So before you turn it on, think through, do people have special photos of you?
Yeah, something to consider. Also, I changed mine this morning, so we should take note of whether it automatically changed it.
That's interesting. No, I still have the same exact one. It's, oh, yes. Oh, no, okay. We got to the bottom of this live on air. It gives a little pop-up that prompts me to update it if I would like to. So I will hit update.
Oh, and did you just change yours though?
I just pushed mine out to you. Oh, and there is a revert button here.
Oh.
If I so choose, which I don't particularly care to.
So it automatically changes it, but you can revert or override it.
No, other way around. It gave me a prompt to update it. When I went to your contact, it said, would you like to update it? They just updated theirs.
Oh, huh. Yeah, learning live on air here. Yeah. Well, I feel like that's a fun one to turn on, just because most people, you do kind of want control over what other people are seeing when you're messaging them. So,
well, and also I find that, like, it is nice, especially if you're messaging somebody who you don't know well, if they're not in your contacts even, like, there's something nice to see what the person looks like, see who you're actually talking to. It happens a lot to me of like some random customer service person or whatever. Like, it's just nice to know who you're talking to.
Yeah.
So I do appreciate that. That is nice.
Next, I wanted to tell you about our premium subscription, iPhone Life Insider. This is our educational service for lifelong learners and Apple enthusiasts. And it gives you all of the in-depth information that you want about the Apple products you use and love. We have an iOS 27 in-depth guide we're working on. We'll be releasing it the day iOS 27 drops. We have a Siri AI guide that we're bundling with it. So you'll get all the new stuff on the new Siri, which stay tuned. We're going to talk about that in this episode too. We're going to have core guides on all of the new operating systems. We have courses running every single month that are live, and you can also watch the recordings on demand. We're getting ready to launch our Apple Passwords course in August. Right now we have photo management going. So really we cover a huge range of all the topics you want to know about with your Apple products. You can get a 30% discount if you go to iPhoneLife.com/podcast discount, and that we're giving that just to you for being a podcast listener. Also, you can get an extra 10% off with our senior discount. So go to iPhoneLife.com/podcast discount.
And that's 60 and older, and also health professionals, service personnel, and
students, teachers.
Yeah, exactly.
So we get a lot of insider questions during our courses. And one that came in recently in our photo management course was about the People in Pets album in the Photos app. Mm. And this is one, people love the People in Pets album.
Yeah.
Do you?
Oh, yeah, of course.
It is really fun. Like, for those of you who don't know, in your Photos app, you can go automatically. Apple will pick out some like regularly photographed people in your camera roll and will like by default group them together and you can name them. Also, you can manually go in and like find a picture of a person, and from there you can name them. Usually it doesn't always work, but it's really nice this way, because if you're like looking for photos to share or like it's someone's birthday, you can easily go and like see the photos of them. Also, you can have individual albums now for pets that are broken out by, like, it used to be just like all animals were kind of grouped together. Yeah. And now it's good enough to identify different dogs and cats. So the thing we were, people were asking is, what do you do if someone's not automatically showing up in the People and Pets? So what you can do is navigate to a photo of that person, and there should be a little question mark icon that's gray in the lower left corner of that photo. If you tap that, it'll give you the option to name them. This is not a perfect system on Apple's part. So sometimes in certain pictures, you won't see that option. And that's just Apple's facial recognition not working that well. Like, either it doesn't, can't tell a person's in it, or I don't know. But what you can do as sort of a workaround is you can swipe up and there's a caption field and you can add the person's name there. And that means that anytime you search for that person's name, this photo will pop up as well as, you know, well, I guess in this case, there wouldn't be a People album for it, but like it lets you search for certain photos by keyword if you
Well, and I was going to recommend this. So first of all, there's a lot of nuance to the People in Pets section, which is why we're teaching a whole photo management course.
Yeah.
You know, for example, what happens if the person shows up twice? Like, I have a baby me and an adult me as two different people on my own photo album, things like that. So a lot of nuance, which if you're an insider, definitely check out the photo management course. If you're not, iPhoneLife.com/podcast discount. But I would definitely recommend going and naming the people in your People and Pets album for this exact reason, that searching is really powerful. So a lot of times I'm trying to find a specific photo and being like Aaron, who's my fiance, being like Aaron 2023 June, something like that. And having the keyword that I can use the person's name can really help hone in on what I'm looking for.
Yeah, it was fun on Father's Day. I was looking for photos to print out of my husband, and I searched for him and my daughter and like specific dates. And so I could find like photos of them together, and then I had them printed, and it made the whole thing a lot easier instead of looking through the whole past like year and a half of my photo roll.
That's always really what it is. That's from, I'm trying to print out photos for Mother's Day.
Yeah. Yep. So yeah, that's our tip for the day, or our insider question and answer. I wanted to read out a couple of comments from listeners from last episode.
Yeah, we got a ton. Thank you all.
Yeah. Thank you all for writing in. It's so good to hear from you. This was our WWDC announcement podcast. So we had a lot of people writing in telling us what features they were most excited that Apple announced. So I'm going to read a couple of them out to you. I don't know if it's the most interesting, but the most popular question is, Siri integration. Finding something that maybe is in this text chat or that text chat or in my email, can't remember where it is and takes ages to look for it. Or a document, but where did I file it? Sounds like a wonderful resolution of a major pain point.
So I think that was the Carol question we're asking here is, what are you most looking forward to?
Yeah, so that's the Siri AI feature Carol was most looking forward to. And that was really what most people wrote in about, as you'll see. I'm not a heavy user of AI type functions on my phone, but I have recently been wanting to integrate various random photos on my computer with my Apple albums. I couldn't figure it out or if I could do this, but it sounds like now this will be possible and I hope easy, Lynn says. Things I'm excited about with the new iOS, upgraded Siri app, photos app, especially the cleanup function. That's an AI feature.
Yeah, I'm very excited about that.
Hopefully faster and better integration with AirDrop. Doesn't work on a regular basis. This was just like one of those pain point features they announced, which I am really excited about as well.
Because there's no, I know I'm rehashing, but I'm in it. There's no way to transfer a large amount of photos that's easy. Like if you try to text them, it takes forever. And sometimes it creates these weird funky iCloud albums that you don't know what to do with. Then they have to go manually download from the iCloud. So AirDrop is the best way, except for half the time it doesn't freaking work.
And when it does, it's amazing.
Yeah.
So it's like leaves you, it's just inconsistent.
Yeah.
The Shortcuts app will hopefully be easier to use, so I might use it. Now it is a bit too complex and not worth the trouble, Sue says. So Apple, if you weren't tuned in last time, Apple is promising that you can now make shortcuts with AI that are basically just like you put in conversational prompts and it will make the shortcut for you instead of you having to build them in a kind of complex way. So that's exciting. Shirley says, most anxious to try the new Siri and how iOS 27 will allow me to edit photos. More comments about Siri, basically. So I think that'll be fun to get into our experiences with Siri because there are so many of you listening that are anticipating it. So maybe that's what we should talk about next. I know I'm the one who has
I was like, yes, you should talk about that next.
I'm the one who has the beta, so you can more be grilling me about it.
Okay, deal.
But yeah, pretty much right after the announcement, I went and signed up for the developer beta. And to remind you all how this works, Apple releases the developer beta immediately after the Worldwide Developers Conference because it wants to give developers as much time as possible to integrate their apps so that they work, they're compatible with the new operating system. And so I wouldn't recommend sort of your average person getting on the developer beta because it's very buggy. But for like media, it's a good way for us to test features before they get to you. Apple will be coming out with a public beta in any day now, actually, but probably later July based on the last couple of years. That I personally think I'd recommend for enthusiasts, especially if you have multiple Apple devices, you could just put it on one. And that's a way to be able to test some of the new features and then get on the official version in September. So it's easy to sign up for free on Apple's website.
We'll keep you posted too as it gets closer. I think it's every year is a little different. Some years are buggier than other years. Definitely it's for early adopters who are okay with bugs. You know, sometimes the bugs can be really frustrating, like your banking app won't work all of a sudden, or just things that are essential. So it would be, I'm just wanting to add a note of caution to the we recommend it. In recent years, it has been more stable, which is why it's easier for more people to do it. But definitely I would still put in the category of for early adopters who are okay with bugs.
Right now, I'm not really getting any incoming calls. Just to get, it's one example. This is the developer beta, but about half the time my phone rings. And sometimes it'll ring, but there'll be nothing showing up on my phone, no option to answer anything. And I don't know who's calling. So, or it'll show me the contact card of the wrong person. Yeah, so it's not perfect.
Just to put a plug in this moment, we have a newsletter that is just for insiders called Release Radar that we tell you when the beta is released. We tell you when new versions of the beta released. Also, of course, most of the time, we're covering all of the most recent iOSs that are public. And we tell you if there's bugs and if it's worth upgrading. So I stay tuned if you're an insider, because we will keep you posted. Otherwise, we'll definitely keep you posted through the podcast and share our experiences, like Donna can receive phone calls or not.
Yeah. So to me, it's been worth it because I've been really wanting Siri AI for a really long time. And you've heard me
Who needs a phone to make phone calls, honestly?
Yeah, honestly. I don't like it when people call me anyway. So the thing I would say about it is that Siri finally has solved the problem of, like, anytime you ask it something where it says, I found some web articles, that's always, like, the bane of my existence is hearing that. And then being
usually,
like,
usually when you're asking Siri, it's because you're not browsing the web.
Yeah, like, I know I can open up Safari on my phone and look for something. I'm, like, asking Siri for a reason. So now it will actually give you useful answers. So, like, some examples of that is I was thinking recently about how I want to go to Japan sometime. And I was just like, when's the best time of year to visit Japan? And had a conversation with Siri about that. And the answers were good.
Was it the cherry blossoms in March?
It's, yeah, spring or fall.
Okay.
Spring is good, except for that it's more expensive and everyone's there. but fall is the underrated.
Oh, wow. Okay. Yeah. See, you learned so many things here.
another example is, does egg yolk or egg white have more protein? I was curious and found the answer. And I feel like that's the type of thing it wouldn't answer before.
Yeah, totally.
So those are simple ones. And that, I would say, is what I'm using it for most of the time. But it's not really, like, the wow factor, I think, that all of you are wanting to know about. So some of the other things that Apple hyped up a lot is personal context. This, I would say, is also really good. I think that I need to play with it more, but here are some examples. Personal context means that it has information on you based on your messages, notes, mail, contacts, and, you know, other Apple built-in programs on your phone. So this is the advantage it has, I think, over any other AI. And this is where it gets really exciting, I think, because, like, Amy said she was asking Siri, her dad was in the hospital. She asked what hospital and what room he was in, and it popped up through, like, messages and stuff she had.
Yeah, because definitely ChatGPT could never.
Yeah, so it, like, has access to that. And, you know, we talked in our last episode, so you can go back if you want, about Apple's reputation for security and how they're using private cloud compute to still protect the information. But at least for me, because of those things, I feel a lot more comfortable having it have access to all these things on my phone so that it can be more useful, where, like, this is stuff I would never share with ChatGPT.
Yeah, the hospital
room. I wouldn't, like, hand over all my messages.
It's a really good example. Yeah, the hospital room is something I would never tell Chat about. But Apple already knows it. I'm already texting from Apple, you know?
Yeah, totally. Or another one was, she asked when her daughter's preschool enrollment paperwork was due. And that was, like, in one of her emails. And it just pulled it up and gave it to her.
Oh, you're getting me way more excited about this.
Yeah. So stuff like that. I think that's, like, I was trying to remember, a friend invited me to their wedding recently. And I was like, was it in a text message or my email? I can't find it. And I asked Siri and then it popped it up. Like, that's so nice.
Cool. Yeah. Okay. I'm getting excited. Because that was going to be one of my questions, is how the answers compare to, like, say, ChatGPT, right? Because you can just open up your phone and use ChatGPT.
So I think for this type of thing, it's like, it's what Siri's supposed to be, like a personal assistant, but now it actually has legs, you know? Whereas I feel like ChatGPT, if you compare ChatGPT, I feel like Siri isn't as good for a lot of the things you use ChatGPT for, just because Siri has better ethics. Like, it's not going to be your therapist. It's not going to be give you medical, your doctor. It's so, like, there's so many things you're going to ask
it. Okay, I'm out.
There's so many things you're going to ask it where it's going to basically be like, I can't answer that for you.
And have you, same thing with the app. I know it has a built-in app.
Yeah.
Oh, that's so fascinating.
Or, like, it'll give some sort of, like, watered down answer, but then tell you to talk to your doctor. Whereas I feel like ChatGPT will offer you, like, a billion suggestions.
Here's 5 guesses and my favorite of the guesses. And you're like, cool, thanks.
And there's a part of you that's like, this is kind of sketchy, but if you know that you, like, if you have the sense to, like, know what to talk to your doctor about and what is sort of just brainstorming, then I think it can be okay. And it is, it's a little bit annoying that, like, you can't get answers about all the things you want to with Siri.
Yeah, no, I mean, I'm being snarky about it, but I mean, we'll see. I think the jury's still out. But I think I'm largely in favor of the ability to talk to these models about these sort of issues, because you try to make an appointment with a doctor and it takes 6 months and you get 15 minutes with them and they're not going to like, there's only so much context you can give them. And there's a long history of doctors misdiagnosing things to begin with. So having it as a tool, as long as you understand that it is not accurate, is, I think, helpful.
Yeah. Also for things like interpersonal things, sometimes it can be a nice springboard if you're like, I had this interaction that was weird. What do I make of it? Like, it can be helpful as long as you know that it's also going to just make you feel better about yourself than you probably should all the time. Like,
It's guilty of validating you at times when it should not.
Yeah. So I think, if you are not expecting Siri to be your boyfriend, therapist, or doctor, then you'll like it. I was really, anyway. But the other thing I wanted to mention was on-screen awareness. On-screen awareness, you can now use to do things like, if there's a photo on your phone, you could be like, where was this taken? Mm-hmm. And, you know, especially if it's one that has
that's cool.
distinctive things in it, like a bridge or whatever, it could maybe tell that it was San Francisco. Or you could do things like be looking at a recipe on your phone and say, make me a grocery list from this, which I was testing out before the podcast with varying results. But I think on-screen awareness is one I want to play with more, but those are two examples, and it's one that Apple was definitely hyping as a big deal. Mm-hmm. Do you have any other questions for me on Siri AI? Those were my main takeaways so far.
I think
far.
Those are most of my questions. I think that, I mean, you're doing a good job of reminding me of all the reasons why we were excited for so many years for this, right? That it has a use case that's different than ChatGPT that is really helpful, and it being built into your operating system is so valuable.
Also, I really do like them having the app. Siri has its own app.
Yeah.
You can see anything you've asked Siri in there, and you can search it. And so it's just like not gone, and you can add to the conversation later at any time. So that's really nice as well. We'll keep you posted. Siri, Apple just came out with beta 3, which has the
like you can personalize Siri's voice and intonations and stuff.
Yeah, basically like make it more chatty, more human-like. And you need an iPhone 17 Pro, I guess, to do it because it requires a lot of RAM.
Oh, okay.
I have that. But yeah, I wasn't able to install it today before.
Even if you have it, I'm not sure that I care to use the RAM to make it sound chattier.
I know. I'm intrigued by it, though, because I think it could make the difference between wanting it to like read things to you or not.
Yeah, that's fair.
Because you could have it read articles to you.
This might be too soon for you to know, but because I think they're different, I'm trying to remember how it works with betas, but like, were you able to use it on CarPlay and HomePod?
It is working on CarPlay for me.
Okay.
That's really nice.
Because that's HomePod, a game changer.
It is not working.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that's more probably that the beta isn't set up than... like, it probably will work down the road.
I'm not sure about that. I actually was just thinking about that before the episode and didn't get a chance to confirm one way or the other. I really hope so, because that would make the HomePod so much better.
HomePod is essentially just, like, a voice for Siri. Like, how could you not have the new improved Siri on it?
Current HomePod models do not natively run Apple Intelligence or the overhauled AI version of Siri. They require robust on-device processing.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
They'll probably release a new HomePod this
fall. I think they will.
Honestly.
They've got to.
It's reached a point where I've stopped using my HomePod. Like, it just doesn't. The answers it gives me are so dumb.
But what's sad about that is that means, like, five HomePods.
All of your HomePods are now obsolete. I know.
That
sucks.
That does really suck.
But the new ones will be great.
They will, and I for sure will buy one.
And HomePod will be great.
At least one.
Because I will say, as previously discussed, I have a Tesla. It has Grok, which I hate Grok, but I find myself using a lot for that reason. If I'm
driving, why do you hate Grok? I've never used it.
I've only used it a little bit, but it just is. I find it doesn't give me as rich of an answer.
Really? Yeah.
It's like very.
You and I are
like,
both ChatGPT fans.
Yeah, we are, and it's a controversial thing. A lot of people in our office are Claude fans.
I feel like this could be a good next episode. You can all let us know if you want to hear more of like a head-to-head comparison of different AI assistants.
Yeah, we are, you know, we're releasing some AI, more AI content. So that's something I'd love to hear from you guys if you want us to cover in the podcast or not. That'd be interesting.
Email us at podcast@iphonelife.com. Yeah. Let us know, do you want us to talk more about AI? Because we've been using it a lot at work.
Yeah, yeah. But yeah, I find that Grok gives me just really like closer to Siri answers where it's just really brief. I mean, it is much more nuanced. So I do use it because when I'm driving, it's nice to be able to search.
Yeah.
But it sort of like doesn't give me as rich of answers as ChatGPT does.
Okay.
I wish I could think of a better example, but I just asked it questions and like the answers it gave me are more brief. But I mean, it's so nice. We all know when you're driving, the most random things pop in your head that you need to know immediately, or you're having a conversation with somebody and you need an answer immediately. So it is really nice. Like having it on CarPlay will be great.
It has been like, it's really cool that it works in my CarPlay now. Like I've been using it a lot. The other news item I had, you know, I want to talk about the beta, but I thought we should talk about the Apple price hike too, because this hasn't happened in years.
Yeah.
It's noteworthy. It's not good news.
No.
But it's something you should know about. So Apple, a few weeks ago, raised the price on some of their Macs and iPads, and it is a significant jump by about like 20%. A lot of them, it was around $200 jump in price. And now there's a lot of reports that the iPhone 18 Pro line is going to also be $200 more expensive.
Oh, that sucks.
And the reason for that, you know, Apple is complaining about it too. Apple is just saying it's because their chip providers are charging a lot more because it's really competitive now because all these chips are being used to power AI data centers.
Yeah.
So it makes sense. There's, you know, everyone's using AI now.
It's certainly not. I mean, I'm very happy to criticize Apple on price when they deserve it because Apple has very premium products and they should be held accountable for that. This is one, though, that I think is not Apple's fault.
Yeah, because it's all chips that have also, from what I've been reading, are usually not expensive. Like this is totally new that they're really expensive and it makes sense that that price increase is going to be passed on to buyers.
Yeah, I mean, and I will say Apple, I believe, has been, there was a lot of rumors around the prices going up last year, and I think Apple kind of just ate the margins on it.
Yeah.
So there's only so long that can continue. I mean, the cynical side of me will say that Apple is one of the most profitable companies in the world, and maybe they should just eat that. But unfortunately, I don't think that's how capitalism works as much as I wish it did.
I know, same. So it's something to consider. It's also, you know, you could take that as a reason to not get a new iPhone, but I also think with Apple's new operating system being so built around AI, I think it's more and more important to have a current phone. You don't necessarily probably need to get the 18 Pro. You could get a 17. That could be a solution for people. But yeah, wouldn't you say it's not really like a good time to say hold off on buying either?
Yeah, I mean, let's wait and see what's announced, but I feel like I'll have a hard time telling people to wait, because I do think you're right that AI is just a processor heavy function, which is the whole problem across the entire supply chain. But it also is a problem for you, not just in the price increase, but in the fact that like, it's a great feature you're going to use a lot, and you're going to feel sad if you don't have a phone or computer or iPad that can handle it.
Yeah, like for our iOS 27 guide that we're working on, there are still many features that are compatible with, like, I think it's iPhone 11 or later, so you'll get a lot of things. But more so than ever, there's now a divide where it's a bunch of features that you need a newer phone for.
But this will be our September podcast.
Yeah.
We will have more info to come.
Yes. So stay tuned for that. Let's turn the page to summer gear.
Yeah, I'm excited. We haven't covered gear in a long time. Let's talk it through.
We're really like mid swing of summer right now. I've been spending definitely a lot more time outside and by the pool. So I thought it would be fun to talk about gear for sort of like outdoor adventures. I have a speaker that I really think is great for poolside or just for having like a barbecue or anything where you're kind of entertaining people and want to have some beats. And that's the JBL Boombox 4. It's, you know, for something that has a good amount of bass that's can really fill a space with sound. I think this is reasonably affordable. It's $550. It's, mm-hmm. you know, pricey, but not crazy. The JBL, I just feel like in general is a really nice brand for speakers where it just feels affordable, but does its job well. It's waterproof. It looks cool. The Bluetooth connectivity is easy. I am not an audiophile or like a sound engineer, so I feel like whenever I'm talking about like how the sound is, I'm like, it sounds good. But I did note it. I mean, I have a bunch of other smaller speakers, like Ultimate Ears has some smaller waterproof speakers.
That's what I was going to ask you, because I have a Yue Boom.
Yeah, this was, I mean, this is like big.
Yeah.
And so some of it is, I actually really like Ultimate Ears, and for maybe a gathering of like four or five people in a smaller space, I would use Ultimate Ears. But if you want to have sort of like, yeah, a big Father's Day barbecue or a pool party or something, then I think you're wanting something a step up, and the JBL Boombox 4, I feel like, is a good fit for that.
Cool. Yeah, because I do. That was the next half of my point. I love the Yue Boom because it's like the size of a hairspray can. And so it's small, it's portable, it has surprisingly good sound for that size,
yeah.
But I literally have it outside on my gazebo and it's not quite cutting it. So this is, sounds like a good option for an upgrade that isn't like crazy, but will be like for a large yard.
Yes, I think it's a really good option.
Cool.
I was comparing that against the Sonos Play. That was the other speaker that I've been testing. And the JBL Boombox 4, I think, is much better for like an outdoor gathering. The Sonos Play, I ended up putting in my kitchen, and I use it. I've been using it instead of my HomePod because the HomePod has been annoying me, but it has a much richer sound for even just listening to podcasts or audiobooks than the HomePod has. And for music, it like for having company over, it does fill the space really nicely. Sonos, the thing, they're really high quality, but I will say they're annoying to pair. Have you had this experience with Sonos?
I haven't used them much. I think for that reason, that they're like an AirPlay alternative, right?
Yeah, like to even pair in the first place, you have to use the Sonos app and connect to AirPlay. And I've just found it to be a little bit finicky.
Honestly,
so that's been really annoying for me.
Even AirPlay, I'm a little bit frustrated with. So much of the time, I just like Bluetooth. It's just so quick and easy.
Yeah. So there is that. But they're... I also feel like Sonos, they just feel classy, and the sound is really nice.
Yeah, exactly. They're very well designed, and the sound is nice. I have a pair of Sonos headphones
and
I really enjoy.
Yeah, and if you do get multiple in different rooms, they pair together well, and so that's like another reason you can kind of have whole house sound. They have sound bars that are really nice too. Like we actually are using that right now for our TV downstairs. But
oh, cool.
I won't really go into that because that's not as much the summer gear theme.
Okay, should we just alternate?
Yeah.
I will say most of mine is summer adjacent, let's say.
Yeah.
My first one is funny because it is a woman's product, but my partner is obsessed with it. And so it's a brand called Bandolier.
Okay.
And what it is it is they have like travel bags and also iPhone cases that like all hook together. So she took it with her when we went to the Philippines, and it was like just perfect little travel gear thing. It the travel bag, first of all, it's the thing that I would say I like the most about it, and she likes most about it, is it's really high quality. It looks nice. It also is the iPhone part of it is a really unique product that I don't see very much, because it has like a band almost like a purse. And it fits into the other travel bag really easily. And so it's just like a nice little pair of the two of them. And it is easy, convenient. You know, it's an easy place to put your iPhone while you're traveling. It's kind of just the right size. It's high quality leather. And it just looks nice. And I cool. The thing that surprised me about it is just, like I said, I feel like it's pretty rare that I see a unique iPhone case these days. They're all just feel the same, you know?
True.
And this felt like an actual innovative product that is nice, and she's enjoying it. And my sister got one as well, and she's also enjoying it. So I feel like two for two.
I'll
two very
check that
picky
out.
Women.
Yeah, that's so funny. I do feel like women's purses and like what to carry with you and with your phone, it's a dilemma. And
yeah.
So I want to check this out.
And you could do both. So she got them together, but the iPhone case itself is a really nice thing because it has on the back, it has a little wallet. So it's, you can put your cards, your phone, and you can basically keep it like a wallet.
That's cool, because like what I'm about to talk about is another wallet case, and I feel like this is good for summertime. You just want to travel lighter.
Yeah.
You don't want like your big, huge, heavy bags
exactly.
or like huge wallets. You're wearing lighter weight clothes.
I also feel like you want to go to the website and look at these because I feel like half the benefit to me is when you talk about an iPhone case that looks like a purse, it sounds really cheesy. Like we all know those products out there where people wear their phones around them and it looks terrible. And they somehow just found a way to make it look nice.
Yeah, I actually think I was like maybe having a look on my face because I think I recently saw it somewhere and was like, oh, like I feel like maybe when I came over to pick up Ellie, or pick up Claire. So, and I thought it did look really nice and I wanted to check it out.
Yeah, so we'll post links so you can check out the photos. But yeah, she's been super happy with it.
Relatedly, Urban Armor Gear has a MagSafe wallet. It sticks to the back of your phone using MagSafe. It has a little kickstand. This one's Kevlar. It's more of a masculine look. So my husband's been using it and really likes it. It, in general, I've had a hard time finding one that's more feminine, but I want that because a lot of times I just want to leave my house with only my iPhone.
Yeah.
And you just want your driver's license and maybe one card because most of the time you can just use Apple Pay everywhere. So I feel like this really fits the bill for that. It's $59. So I feel like it's pretty affordable. The kickstand feature, I cannot express enough how great it is. And it's mainly
that's fascinating.
Because I have a daughter who a lot of times I want to play like Miss Rachel for or something in a certain
yeah, I hear that.
And I feel like with your iPhone, or I also use, I look at like little workout videos on my iPhone a lot and I'm always trying to prop my phone up and it's toppling over. So I feel like having a product with a kickstand, it sounds kind of gimmicky, but it's one of those things I actually use all the time when I have.
Yeah, that's interesting because I haven't gotten it. Similarly, it sounds gimmicky, which is similar to me being like, and your phone has a strap, but it works. It's nice.
Yeah, we're including these because we truly think they're cool and useful. By the way, we're going to have links to all of these in our show notes. So if you go to iPhoneLife.com/podcast, you'll see all the links there if you want to check these out.
Let me ask you this, because I use Apple's Apple Wallet, which I don't currently have on. I'm holding on my phone showing that I don't have it on, but I do use it typically. Does this have Find My?
No.
Because that to me is a major concern.
That's a good point.
I find that these MagSafe wallets, I use them, I love them. My fiance hates that I use them because they're always falling off my phone and then I can't find them. I do eventually find them. I've only ever lost it once, but it is sort of annoying.
Yeah, no, that's true. It's a bit dangerous because MagSafe, as many of you know, it works well, but it's not like a really, really suctiony hold. Like it can like fly off, you know?
So here's what I'm getting ready to say. The Apple Wallet has sort of a janky Find My. It will mark in the Find My app where you disconnected from your wallet, which is pretty good. Most of the time, it's good enough. As long as your wallet remained where you disconnected from it.
Right.
And that is not in a hard-to-find location. But what I want is it to actually function with Find My where, like, you can walk around and, like, it'll, you know, that little, like, Find My functionality where it gets, like, you're nearer, you're farther. That's what I want. I will report back next time because I believe that Nomad has a wallet that looks really nice that does work with Find My.
And Nomad in general we love.
We love Nomad. Exactly. Yeah. But that's, I've been searching for this exact product because ironically, Apple, I feel like, did not do a great job with their wallet. The MagSafe is not quite that strong. It falls off. It also doesn't hold that many things. But I agree with you that I think we're in an era where, like, I would say 90% of the time, I don't have a wallet.
Yeah.
And that's fine.
I agree. I use Apple Pay now pretty much all the time. But yeah, the Urban Armor one, I just checked the website. They do have an extra strong magnet, which I have found that it securely holds. It holds up to 6 cards, but it is true. It can fly off your phone. And if you lose it, it doesn't have Find My, but it's similar to like having a wallet that you could lose too.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, so use with caution.
As with any wallet.
I put Halo on the Halo collar on my list here, and I wanted to just say that I'm going to report back on it next month. I finally got one.
You got one.
But I haven't set it up yet. All it right. just came. So I wanted to actually ask you about this again. What is the sort of like getting it set up amount of work? Because okay. I think it's a really cool idea. It's a e-fence for, sorry.
Yeah, I'll start at the beginning as Donna chokes on some water. Mm. So it's a collar that works as an e-fence for your dog. And it syncs with an app, which is really nice because it you can use your phone to control it, to set it all up. Basically, because it syncs with an app, you can not only use it at home, but you could use it elsewhere. Like you could be camping and just draw a perimeter around where your campsite is. And then you just put the collar on the dog and the dog will not leave that perimeter. I've used it for years with one of my two dogs. So I have two dogs. I have a Husky and I have a German Shepherd. The German Shepherd, it works great with. Basically, if he leaves the little perimeter, if he gets close to it, it like gives a little noise. If he gets closer, it'll like buzz a little. And then if it gets too close, it does the, I can't remember, there's like a term that's like polite, but it like gives him a little like vibration right there. The dogs don't like it, makes him go back. So in general, it's worked well for him. Lavender is a Husky. Huskies are, as you know, if you have a Husky, are real flight risks. They also have really thick fur. So how this works is you have two little prongs that go against their neck, but Lavender's fur is too thick / she's stubborn. So we used to use it on her, and then one day she decided she would rather get electrocuted than stay home. And she just spent all day running around all over town, and I had it on GPS so I could just watch her, and she had the time of her life, and then she never got to use it again. So that mostly answers the question. A couple caveats here. The accuracy is pretty good, and the newer models' accuracy has gotten better, but it is still for large yards. It's not something I would necessarily recommend for a very small yard because okay. the accuracy has some margin of error, and sometimes there's like a little bit of like an issue where if Daxel gets really excited, Daxel's my German Shepherd, he'll run out to see somebody, and he will run so fast that by the time he notices that he's getting shocked, he's like already there.
Right.
So you kind of want to have a buffer there. And so you need a large enough yard to have all that.
I see.
To answer your original question, there's a whole range of tutorial videos mm-hmm. that teaches you how to train them. We took those tutorial videos and then we thought, you know what? Daxel's a smart dog. And we just sort of took him on a leash, showed him the area, and he figured it out after a couple times. He was real confused for a day. He's like, why do I get shocked when I go over here? But then he figured out and he was fine.
Okay, that's good to know because I think right now time is valuable.
Yes, really?
At our house. And so I've been like trying to think of like, okay, I need to set aside next weekend to do all these training sessions with Fox. But knowing I could kind of just get it up and running and he'll probably learn how to use it makes me a lot more likely to do it soon.
Yeah. I don't want to overpromise because that's definitely not what they recommend.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I'll report. I think I will watch some of the tutorial videos and at least do some of the training, but I'll report back once I get it up and running because I think that, you know, just in terms of the value of this, it's pretty obvious. Putting in a fence is many thousands of dollars. This yes. is a lot more affordable. Also, depending on your yard situation, sometimes a fence breaks it up in a way that's not visually appealing or not the look you're going for.
Yeah, a fence was not an option for us, really.
Yeah, and in ours, too, we have sort of this open countryside, but I really don't want to risk my dog getting in the street, for sure. And so the thought of being able to spend time outside this summer with Fox, with the security of knowing that he's not going to run away, would be a huge deal for us.
Yes, absolutely.
So, yeah. Halo, I know, has like the best reputation, so I'm excited to give it a try.
Yeah, check back in. I really enjoy ours.
So do you have any other gear?
I do. I have quite a few here.
Okay, let's hear it.
Okay, the next one is a really fun one. I couldn't remember if I talked about this on the podcast. So if I have, I'm sorry. It is called the Soundcore Nebula Capsule 3, a really catchy name. What it is a portable laser projector.
Oh.
So again, I mentioned I have a gazebo. You can watch movies outside.
That sounds so
fun. It's so cool. It has a built-in speaker. And it's like again, it's not that large. It's like the size of a hairspray can or something like that. Maybe just slightly bigger.
And the picture quality is
excellent because it's, the audio comes from it. The picture quality is excellent because it is a laser. So it's like a high quality projection. And the audio comes from it. The audio, it's like, again, there are ones that are, so this one costs I think it costs $750, but it's on sale most of the time. It currently is on sale for $569, which is not cheap, but like
also for a projector.
For a projector, it's pretty cool.
It's hard to get ones under $1,000.
Yeah, and it's what's great, it's portable. So you could like take it with you camping. You could take it with you even to like a hotel, like whatever.
That's fun.
And it has, it's not Apple Play, but it has an Android Play built into it. So it has Netflix natively on it, in other words. And so we just have that, and we have a little screen we bought that was like, I don't know, $20-$30, and we can watch movies in our gazebo.
That's so fun. Do you do that?
Totally. Yeah. Not as much as we should because we're just like busy people, but we really enjoyed it when we do it. Yeah.
That sounds like that's really good for the summer theme. Too.
Yeah, exactly. I felt like that fit. We watched a horror movie, which I, you know, not sure I would recommend.
Yeah, it would be good like around Halloween.
Yeah, that's exactly that was when the horror movie I was referring to was around Halloween. It was really fun. Okay, that's another one. I see you have one too, so I'll let you go next.
Oh yeah, so I have this one's like a little more loose on the summer theme, but it was my last one I wanted to include. It's the Jabra Evolve 385 over-ear headset. This one was cool just because they've incorporated like kind of pretty high-end AI features for noise cancellation, and it's just done really well. It's also, for me, with over-ear headphones, most of the time they give me a headache. These are extremely lightweight. They just feel like almost to the point you don't realize they're so high end when you first see them because they just seem like super light. But they're really, really comfortable. They're well designed. You really get like none of the background noise when you're wearing them, both for you and then also for if you're doing any kind of video calls, it cancels out the background sound, which I have to say, in general, I feel like a lot of video calling platforms have gotten really good about Zoom auto cancels background noise, but this does a really good job. So you're not having like noisy kids or whatever in the background coming through on your calls. And I think in general with over ear headphones, having really good noise cancellation is a feature that's kind of a must.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So I like your caption here. Use this for business calls so nobody can know that you're at the pool.
Yep.
Jabra has a very excellent reputation. I haven't used these, but I've used a lot of Jabra products and I really enjoy them.
Yeah, I like Jabra as well.
Okay, my last one is a little bit of a niche one, but if you know. So anybody who, as you can tell, I'm working on getting my yard all set up. I have this gazebo. I'm loving it. And I have these little string lights, you know, those like little Edison string lights.
Yeah, I love a good string light.
Yeah, and they really make your yard look nice. And so what I found is there is a plug. It's called the, I'm not going to not pronounce it right, Miro's Outdoor Dimmer Smart Plug. And it's HomeKit compatible. So you plug any outdoor light into this, and you can basically do two things, which is awesome. You can program it with your HomeKit. So you can have, like mine turns on at sunset and turns off, I think like a few hours later or something like that.
Oh, that's fun.
And you can dim your lights. Because the thing for me is that sometimes those little lights can be pretty bright if it's pretty dark out there. So you can actually control the brightness with it.
From your phone?
From your phone through Siri.
And so do you have it just turning on every night? Like you have the lights on? Oh, that's fun. Because I have some of those in my yard and like it is a little bit of a headache to have to remember to turn them on and off.
Yeah, exactly.
Having them on a schedule would be fun.
And you can do it from your phone, and you can also adjust the brightness from your phone. So like sometimes I do want it bright if I'm trying to like have a bunch of people out there, I'm trying to do something, see people, and other times I want it like a nice vibe. It's cool to be able to control it from Siri, and I really like that I can do automations. And it was like $25. It was super cheap.
That's so nice.
Yeah. So again, if you don't have string lights or lights outside, this is useless to you. But if you do, it was a really cool discovery.
Is that your last
one? That's my last one. Yeah.
Okay, cool. Well, let us know if you have any summer gear that you are loving. Email us at podcast@iPhoneLife.com. we would love to add to this list, and we can share some of the top ones in our next episode. I think that concludes our episode for the week.
It does, unless you're an insider, and then we've got a special section for you at the end.
And I haven't made a plug for this in a while, but I just wanted to ask if you would take a minute to leave us a review wherever you are listening to your podcasts. It really is great to help other people who are Apple enthusiasts and lifelong learners find our show. So leave us a review, leave a comment is even better. And we really appreciate it.
Yes. Thank you, everybody.
Thanks everyone.
For listening.